This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
All right, 1 o'clock. We will always ask you a question. When we get to the football season, we will do minute takes on games. We're not quite there yet. We have no games to do takes of. Although,
there are always games.
There are always games. Two things. One, Premier League starts next week. I'm just saying.
That's Friday, right?
Yeah.
The 5th?
Yeah. Think
Wild.
Palace. Think the Crystal Palace plays next Friday.
Don't you already have a futures bet already?
Not yet. Oh, okay. Next week will be all for all futures bets. But the English League Championship, the second tier of English football, starts this week because there are more teams, so there are more game weeks. Mm. So their first week is this week, and or I may or may not be using that in place your bets. Just saying. Big match between Huddersfield Town, who lost to Nottingham Forest for the final promotion spot at Wembley, and Burnley, which was one of the sides that was relegated, finishing the bottom three in the Premier League. Big match to open up the championship. I'm looking forward to that. All right, let's we do at 1 o'clock, though, we ask a poll of you and Dennis. This is a great idea. Who is more likely to win their division this season? If you would like to give us your answers, that's fine. 919-860-5326, 919-860-5326, between North Carolina and NC State. No offense to Wake Forest. Wake Forest probably could be included in this, if we're being honest.
True.
Duke, probably not. But let's just go between the two state universities. UNC, NC State, more likely to win the division, their division. My answer, although I'm surprised it's not a little closer, my answer is NC State.
Likewise.
And for this reason simply, I think they are better than UNC. Doesn't mean, by the way, they'll win the game in Chapel Hill on the finals. I guess it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Friday after Thanksgiving. Doesn't mean they're going to win that game. I just said I look at NC State as a better team than UNC. On top of that, I think NC State's schedule, not saying it's easy, I think their conference schedule is sort of set up for them to be successful. Obviously, their opener in conference play at Clemson is everything. They will not win the division without winning that game. So we will know, I think it's October 1? October 1st?
Yeah, NC State Clemson.
We will know October 1st by at some point. I don't know, maybe that'll be a night game and we won't know until October 2nd. Maybe it'll be an 8 o'clock start. I don't know. I believe that we'll have at least one 4-0 team in that game. Clemson, I think, they play Notre Dame before then?
Yeah.
They might not. They might play Notre Dame later in the year. But NC State should go to Death Valley 4-0.
The week before State Clemson is Clemson's at Wake Forest.
Okay. That's not easy either, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think Wake's going to be very good, which is why I threw a little bit of a caveat in there, is that we could include Wake Forest, but we'll keep it simple with two state universities. But other than that, if you look at State's conference schedule, many of the toss-up games for them are on their own field. So, in a row, three games in a row, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Boston College, had those games been on the road, if you flipped home and road, those games could all really be losses. And I'm not saying they can't be losses anyway. I like NC State's chances at home in all three of those games as opposed to being on the road. They close with two road games at Louisville, at North Carolina, both very losable games. Right? Both very losable games. But Florida State is here. It's not in Tallahassee. Syracuse is there. State should be able to beat Syracuse on the moon.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd watch
anywhere
that.
On the moon. As for North Carolina, Virginia Tech at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At Miami.
That's the big one.
Well, there are, I think Carolina's
got... Early in the season, that's a big one.
Well, of course.
Well, those two, yeah.
I think Carolina's got five toss-up games.
Yeah.
Five toss-up games. The game at Miami, which, I mean, they're obviously not going to be favored in. Home against Pitt. Now, Carolina always beats Pitt, right? I think that's the way it works. They always beat Pitt. But this Pitt team is really good. At Virginia. Whether or not Virginia's good or not, doesn't matter to UNC. They struggle in Charlottesville. At Wake Forest. You'd much rather have that game on your field. Home against Georgia Tech and then NC State. I think there are five conference toss-up games. Really questionable games for Carolina. So it's part schedule and part I simply believe that NC State is the better team. Mm-hmm. So,
I don't know, NC State could be the better team, but UNC could easily still win their division.
Yeah, I think...
Because, again, the question is who's more likely to win their division?
Right.
Because the Coastal is, well, they call it Coastal Chaos for a reason.
So, you could win the division with two losses if you are...
Didn't Pitt have three losses last year?
I don't think they had three, no.
I thought they were okay.
They might have had two.
Okay.
But I think you can win the division with two losses in the Coastal based on, obviously, tiebreakers. I don't think you'll win the division in the Atlantic with two losses. I don't. I think if you lose twice, I don't see... If Clemson beats NC State, I don't see Clemson losing two more games in ACC play. And if State beats Clemson in Death Valley, to me, barring massive injuries, that just means that they were good enough and they're not losing two games in conference play. And if they did, they might still win the division. But I think you can win the division in the Coastal with two losses. I don't think you can win the Atlantic
mm-hmm.
with two losses. We'll carry this question over for Luke Tkach when he joins us in our next segment, because I actually think it's a good one. Who is more likely to win the division? I think it's NC State. I picked State. I picked Carolina, I believe, third in the Atlantic. But there were a number of people that picked Carolina to win that division.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
No one knows with that division. Because, yeah, a lot of people... Obviously, right. Miami was the number one choice overall in terms of the voting. But, okay, people like Tyler Van Dyke, but I don't know.
I mean, I think...
A lot of people are high on him, but it's...
love Tyler Van Dyke.
But here's the thing. How often we talked about Miami, are they back? Are they back?
Yeah,
is Miami here? And they still have yet to come back.
At some point, though, they will be back. And look,
will they?
They're never going to be back. Well, I guess there's no guarantee. They're never going to be back to what they were. Right? They're never going to get to that level. I could say the same thing about Florida State. Florida State, for about two decades, even in spite of not winning a ton of national championships, like they won two, but for about two decades, they were the gold standard in college football. Year in, year out, top five. Every stinking year. They were just awesome. Are they going to get back to that? It all depends on what kind of investment they choose to make in football there in terms of coaching staff. They have not hit a home run since Jimbo Fisher. Since when Jimbo Fisher dragged his Christmas tree out to the street about 3.5 weeks before Christmas, the year he left for Texas A&M, it has been a steady, quick decline into the abyss for Florida State football. It's one step above Nebraska football at this point.
Ugh.
Exactly.
Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely. Good.
So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people I've seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Luke DeCock of the News and Observer joins us every Friday. Reminds me that I need to take him out to play golf to thank him for this. So both of us can disgrace what would otherwise be a nice golf course. All right, let's get to this, Luke. By the way, I mentioned this on Friday of last week. Between you and Andrew Carter, had an absolute blast on the train. We needed to be wearing tweed suits and bow ties to really take this back to the 1940s.
We needed pork pie hats that said press in the hat band is what we needed. No, that was awesome and a great 2.5 hour game of remembering some guys, vintage ACC edition, and shout out to Len Chappell and everybody else whose name came up. But yeah, I will say this. I'm not getting paid by Amtrak. Maybe I should be. Maybe this segment should be brought to you by Amtrak. Maybe,
phenomenal.
Let's get on that. I love taking the train to Charlotte for Panthers games, for ACC events. If there was ever anything during the day in Greensboro, I might even take the train there. I tried to get a picture of the Greensboro Coliseum. Both times we went past, day and night, there were trains in the way.
Yep.
Such is the life of the traveling newspaper man riding the steel rails to Charlotte, the Queen City.
It was a blast. All right. We asked this question. Dennis came up with it right before the top of the hour. So I will ask this of you. More likely to win their division in the ACC, this will be the final year of division play, North Carolina or NC State?
I'm on the record here and in print as picking North Carolina to win the Coastal. And I think just the nature of the Coastal make team. I picked NC State to win the whole thing. But to me, it's easier to win the Coastal than the Atlantic. So I'm going to have to go with North Carolina. I do love the idea, as I wrote, of NC State and North Carolina playing in back-to-back weeks in an ACC championship rematch in Charlotte. We've had the basketball apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Let's bring on the football apocalypse. But I think that's great. But I think State's a better football team, but I think mm-hmm. Carolina's got an easier division to win.
They do have an easier division to win. The reason I answered NC State here is because I think Carolina has way more toss-up games than NC State does with Pitt. Although, Carolina hasn't had a hard time beating Pitt. But they have had a hard time winning in Charlottesville. They will have a hard time winning at Wake Forest. The NC State game, like, it's probably a 6-2. They have the trip to Miami. It's probably 6-2 will win that if you win the right games, right? Dennis, did you come up with a train sound effect? Did we lose Luke? We lost Luke. The internet is a wonderful thing. So ultimately, that's where I came down on it. I think you can lose twice and still win the Coastal. I don't think you can lose twice and still win the Atlantic. I just don't. But picking these things today probably aren't as easy as we all would like them to believe. All right, we'll move on to a couple of other things. With Luke DeCock, as soon as we get him back, one of the things we're going to talk to him about is we'll get to Ethan Bear at the end of this conversation. All right. There was some pushback on Devin Leary winning. No, nobody's won anything. Being named the preseason ACC Player of the Year, in spite of the fact that some quarterbacks who were voted ahead of him last year are still in the league, specifically Sam Hartman. I voted for Tyler Van Dyke to be preseason ACC Player of the Year. I considered Brian Brzee of Clemson. How did you vote? And, I mean, he only got 24.4% of the vote, so I don't even know what we're complaining about.
Yeah, I enjoyed my conversation with Dave Clawson in Charlotte, where this is before this was announced. He was just looking through preseason mags. I had Phil Steele prominently on the table and complaining that Sam Hartman had gone from being second team all ACC at the end of last season to third or fourth team in a lot of these preseason rankings or ratings. And it was in classic Dave Clawson fashion. You know, what did he get worse?
That's Clawson right there.
Yeah, were people spying on our spring game? did he have a bad practice that I missed? So it was, I get that. However, I think when you look at Devin Leary, the difference between State and Wake is, and not that anyone ever expects Wake to win anything, and everyone is always wrong.
Right.
But State is really expected by a lot of people, not everybody, obviously, but to win, or at least compete to win the Atlantic. I think people feel like Wake maybe a step behind where it usually is, just based on, I think Wake returns 16 starters. For any mm-hmm. other team, that's great. For Wake, that's borderline catastrophic the way that they move, kind of move players through. So I don't have a problem with it at all. I don't. I voted for Josh Downs. I think he's the most explosive playmaker in the ACC. At the risk of coming off as a UNC homer, which will amuse a lot of people who have lived through the scandal here, I picked UNC to win the Coastal. I picked Josh Downs as Player of the Year because I just feel like the quarterbacks were really difficult to mm-hmm. separate. I think Van Dyke is the best NFL prospect among them. I think he's terrific. I looked at defensive players. I looked at Sean Tucker at Syracuse, who's probably one of the great, up there with Mateo Durant in the great player, bad team combo.
Right.
Syracuse is going to be absolute steaming, smoking garbage. And Sean Tucker is going to be the second coming of Ted Brown up there. So I considered that. But Josh Downs, to me, does so much in so many ways. And with Sam Howell gone, is really going to be the focal point of that offense. I think he's going to put up massive numbers. And, it reminds me of my conversations with ACC coaches in basketball about the Alondis Williams Armando Bacot debate. And every coach I've talked to voted for Bacot because they said, we could use our normal good guard game plan against Williams. Like, he's a great player.
Yeah.
But we spent hours talking about how to play Bacot. I feel like that's kind of the way that defensive coaches in the ACC are going to end up talking about Josh Downs at the end of the season.
No question. He is a dynamite player. Would have liked to have seen, early in the season, Downs have been a dominant player for UNC. It would have taken some of the sting away from all those guys who left the year before. You and I, just to keep it consistent, we have to mention something about LIV Golf every week. So let me ask you this, because then this has nothing to do with golf. Did they, I'll just use the term, blow it by not essentially buying Charles Barkley?
It's funny. Yesterday, when this was still a possibility, sort of, I said, look, I really don't care what Charles Barkley does. I think he's a terrific entertainer. Mm-hmm. I enjoy him on the NBA stuff. I think he's a disgrace on the college stuff because he clearly does absolutely zero preparation. And doesn't really has any idea what he's talking about. If LIV Golf wanted Charles Barkley, great. Their circus has a big tent. There's room for Charles Barkley under it. But I don't, to me, it's just another sort of in the phrase I've used with you, I'm pretty sure the Harlem Globetrottering of the LIV Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, the Globetrotters have great players. They're fun to watch. It's entertaining, but you don't care who wins. And the real competition in the sport is somewhere else. And that's just kind of how I feel about the LIV Tour. It's just, it's the Harlem Globetrotters of golf. And if the Globetrotters existed to polish the image of a horrible, murderous regime, then we'd probably look at them differently than we do. But we certainly don't look at a Globetrotters Generals game like the epitome of basketball competition.
No, and actually that's, in my opinion, why they missed out by not getting Barkley. There's really very few attractions in terms of guys I need to see play on the LIV Tour.
Sure.
Maybe Phil, even though he's not that good anymore, and he's finished in the bottom quarter of the field both events. Bryson, for sure, is an attraction. And then you can make an argument maybe for DJ, maybe for Brooks Koepka, but really for nobody else, nobody that you have to watch. David Faraday was a big addition. Charles Barkley would at least juice the broadcasts up and give people a reason, hey, let me tune in and see how Charles is talking about golf, because he loves golf. There's a reason why Turner has put him on those ridiculous match, you know, made for TV with football players.
Man, what's the difference between one of those and the LIV Tour?
Nothing. Honestly. And Barkley has been a good addition to those events. So to me, this was the first LIV swing and miss to somebody who was available and was interested. Tiger wasn't interested. Rory wasn't interested. Thomas, Rahm, these guys weren't interested. Barkley was interested, and they basically said, yeah, we're just not interested in paying you enough money to bring you.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do think I'm happy for Charles that either the money or the ethics weren't good enough for him.
Well, it was definitely not ethics. He was fine. He was fine with the ethics.
You never know. Sometimes people want to backtrack and the money becomes the issue. But that said, in the end, I don't care. I just and maybe I'm in the minority here among golf fans or whatever. I just don't care. I have zero interest in getting up at 5 right. a.m. to watch a LIV Tour event the way I would get up to watch the British Open. I am very unlikely on a Saturday afternoon to turn the TV to whatever LIV Tour event is with the leaders on the 14th hole because they teed off on 6 and try to figure out what's going on. I am likely to turn on the TV and at least have the John Deere Quad Cities Classic on right. in the background to see if Chesson Hadley or someone wins, someone local we care about. Or mm-hmm. I might turn on a Korn Ferry event because Akshay Bhatia is on. So, you know, all of those things I think are relevant.
All right. Now, to the Hurricanes, we'll close on this. Ethan Bear signs a $2.2 million one-year deal. All right, that's fine. Not a lot of money left for Martin Nates. It's about $1.8 currently under the cap, unless something happens with Jake Gardner. So, quick thought on Ethan Bear, and then we'll get to Martin Nates.
I think you wrap them both up. I mean, Bear, you avoid arbitration. It's a fair deal. Look, at the start of the year, he looked fine. At the end of the year, he did not. So mm-hmm. you'll circle back on that. That's fine. The thing that's hanging out there for me, more important than either of those things, or related to either of those things, is the Max LaJoie arbitration case, because that opens a buyout window for Jake Gardner, and that solves the Jake Gardner and Martin Natchez cap space problems in one fell swoop. The lack of interest in Martin Natchez across the league when he was sort of tacitly available, the same way, maybe not as explicitly as Bear or Tony D'Angelo were. If someone really wanted Martin Natchez and thought he was their future number two center, he would not be here by now. So I don't think the Hurricanes ever were desperate to move him. I think they certainly mm-hmm. listened to what was out there, were not impressed. And Martin Natchez, he doesn't have a lot of leverage. He can try to drag this out. But in the end, he bet on himself in a contract year and lost. And there are consequences for that, and it's going to show up in his salary. He's going to end up with a bridge deal. It's going to be very reasonable. It will fit under the cap once Gardner is gone, whether that's buyout or trade, and that'll be dealt with. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem with the Bear contract. I think that's a decent wager on a player who's looked really good at times. So all of that together, I mean, I think it all sort of falls into place. My issue with this team right now, the one thing I think they need to address before training camp, is I think they need a veteran left shot third pairing deep. But that's also a guy you can get off the shelf at the Habitat yeah. Restore on September 15th. So I don't think it's a pressing concern.
Well, I have an additional concern. I share your concern about a third pair left defenseman. They have nobody who will take a faceoff right-handed.
Yep, no, there's that too.
That's it. But I mean, they got nobody. Unless Seth Jarvis is going to take some faceoffs, Natchez is not very good at it, assuming Natchez is here. They just don't have a right center. They have to find one.
He's a center, Adam. Just ask him.
Look, I think that there are 6 preseason games, and rarely do you see the full lineup. I think Martin Natchez is going to get an opportunity to play center 4 times in the preseason.
At least. Yep. At least.
Yep.
But you know what? It was put up or shut up time for him last year. He did not do it. It's put up or shut up time for him in training camp. If he doesn't do it now, then I think you start to look at cutting bait. You'll have a year left on the bridge deal probably. He's attracted to someone else. Then you kind of are in dump him mode because he didn't work out and it's just another Ron Francis draft pick that didn't pan out. That said, I think Marty Natchez has a ton of talent, a ton of potential, and you want to see where this goes.
My conversations with the team, they're still bullish on him, but that sure. might just be trying to convince themselves like they are wont to do, trying to convince themselves of certain things. At Luke DeCock on Twitter. All right, train sound effects next week, I promise.
Yes, yes, that's our deal. And an Amtrak sponsorship, get to work.
I'll do the best I can. I'll see you later.
See you, bud.
Luke DeCock. All right, it is halftime. Very exciting.
And now your halftime entertainment.
2 days in a row, by the way, on time.
I know.
2 days in a row. We had no injuries. We had no stoppages.
No stoppages.
So we put nothing on the board.
I know. It's like, wait, I have to prepare more material? Always anticipate there being stoppage time. No, it's totally fine. It is totally okay. In the world of broadcasting, you ever heard of Brock Osweiler?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
he was a first-round pick.
Osweiler was a first-round pick?
Or second-round pick.
I know. Look.
He was a high draft pick that signed for a lot of money.
He was the guy. Brock Osweiler was the quarterback who took over for Peyton Manning during the Broncos Super Bowl season where they beat the Panthers. And toward the end of the season, Osweiler, because Manning couldn't throw, toward the end of the season, I think Gary Kubiak was the head coach and just went, yeah, I'd rather have a quarterback that can't throw than Brock Osweiler.
Yep.
And then Osweiler, of course, signed a big contract with Houston and then was dumped on the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm.
And they basically bought his contract for like a second-round pick.
Right.
Well, anyway, Brock Osweiler was just hired by ESPN as a college football analyst, and he'll be working alongside Anish Shroff.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll talk to Anish in about 45 minutes about that.
It's funny how it all ties in.
Look at that. Well, then I won't tell him that he was so bad that the Broncos wanted a quarterback who couldn't throw.
Yeah. And ironically, like you said, got dumped off to the Browns who the Panthers played week one. It all comes full circle.
Very nice.
Speaking of ESPN broadcasting, Joe Buck, as we know, is taking over Monday Night Football.
Yep.
For ESPN, while he is ringing in the new broadcast season,
sure,
more hair plugs.
Okay.
More hair plugs for Joe Buck.
Did he say this?
No, yeah, he posted on his Instagram and
really?
All that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know if you know this. Back in 2011, which was the eighth time he got hair plugs, because he says he's legit addicted.
Addicted to hair plugs. Plugs.
Yes.
Look, first of all, can I just say, like, I've never been an enormous fan, but I have respect for somebody who simply admits that.
Yeah. He's admitted that he's addicted to hair plugs because he's like, broadcasting looks matter more than skill. I was like, I don't know. You could throw a good-looking person up there, but if they stink, they stink.
Exactly.
Either way, I think a lot of people look past that nowadays. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, he actually, in his memoir that he wrote in 2017 – he stated about how back in 2011 he underwent his eighth procedure of hair plugs, but something went wrong because I guess they put him under and had a breathing tube down his throat, and something happened where it may have like paralyzed his vocal cord.
Uh-oh.
So he thought he had lost his career actually all the way back in 2011, but luckily for him he's all good. But more hair plugs for Joe Buck.
Good for Joe Buck.
Congratulations.
Get all the hair plugs.
Now, were you one of the 1,000 calls in 6 hours to the Madden 23 rating complaint hotline?
I was not, but you do, obviously, you asked me this question because I did complain about Madden ratings earlier in the week.
I know, that's why I'm asking you
I don't ever play Madden.
Still, I mean, I know you were all in on it. But apparently 1,000 people called the Madden 23 ratings adjuster hotline in the first 6 hours that the hotline was available. It's only been active for a day. one single day in the first 6 hours, 1,000 calls about people complaining about the Madden.
Well, there was
ratings.
A lot to complain about. How is Justin Tucker not a 99?
Uh-huh.
Why is Tom Brady the top-ranked quarterback?
How is Aaron Donald not a 104?
Yeah, he should be higher. Whatever the highest number that you could ever give a Madden player, 3,000. That's what Aaron Donald should be.
I just found that interesting. So anyway, I thought maybe it was you. Maybe I called that line. I get the idea of allowing people to have a platform to complain, but I'm wondering, like, are these actual, like, operators answering these phones and, like, hearing these things, or is it just all automated? Are we going this? Should this tie in to our automated voice answering thing that we're going to do for callers?
Yes.
I'm wondering, like, is it an automated system? Or they're actual people, because if not, they deserve hazard pay.
It should be a call center.
That's what I mean. If right? it's a call center, they should get hazard pay.
Madden complaint desk.
Yeah, exactly.
How can I help you?
We should actually do a lot. We should
We should do that.
Call them live.
Are you a Seinfeld guy?
I enjoy Seinfeld. I appreciate Seinfeld more now that I'm older than I did when I was younger.
I think it's probably been 15 years since I've watched an episode. Mm-hmm. But do you remember the movie phone? The movie phone episode where Kramer is starting. He wants to start. He actually has started, and like in his own mind, an automated movie review.
Uh-huh.
Right, or movie phone, and so they call and is it for whatever movie? Push one for whatever movie? Push two. So they push it, and he doesn't know. Well, why don't you just tell me what movie you want? It's just very fun. It's just it's typical Kramer BS.
Good old Kramer. So I know here, at least in the Triangle area, I'm pretty sure across the state, there have been a lot of heavy rains recently.
My gosh. See what's going on in Kentucky?
Yeah, I would say going on in Kentucky. Well, in Las Vegas, the Circa Sportsbook actually had a leak. Flood water actually crashed through the sportsbook and just poured into it. It was like a monsoon, I guess you could say. So the rainfall began on Wednesday, causing outages, and more rain dumped into the Las Vegas Valley. So they had more than an inch of rain in a lot of areas in just a two-hour period. So the sports book was physically flooded out there in Vegas, Circa Sports Book.
Gosh, it's too bad.
It really
All
is.
All of it's too bad.
Yeah, it really is unfortunate to see that. Mega Millions tickets, you buying them? We going in on those?
Hey, by the way, it was a story on Action Network written by our friend Darren Revelle that you could. There's an app where you can buy lottery tickets on your app.
Okay.
But it's only if your state has approved it. So I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that North Carolina is not among the states.
Probably not.
That has approved it. I think it's only approved in like 10 or 11 states. At this point,
it's interesting,
but it's it has become the most downloaded app on the Apple App Store.
I can believe it.
Yeah, I forget that. I mean, I have the article somewhere up here, but I read it. It's fascinating, but it's not as it's easy to buy the lottery ticket, but when you win, there are a lot of hoops to go through. A lot of steps. I mean, you're still going to get your money, but there are a lot of steps to go through before you actually have the tickets physically delivered to you.
Okay.
Because that will ultimately have to happen. They'll have to be physically delivered to you.
Just interesting. Saying.
It is. Yeah. It's much easier just to go to the gas station and buy your lottery tickets because it's worth $1 billion.
You can do it at the grocery store.
You can.
Like as you're checking out, like, yeah, would you like cash back? Yes. And just take it right up to customer service counter and buy tickets.
You should be able to get your cash back in lottery tickets.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Right?
Yeah. How would you like? I'd like $20 back, please. Yeah, I'd like a $10 bill and 5 quick picks for Mega Millions, please. That's what I want. But anyway, I saw this morning up to $1.1 billion jackpot.
Right.
My guess is with the amount of people that are buying tickets right now, today, because the next drawing is tonight. My personal guess, my hunch, is that from, what was it? When was the last drawing? Tuesday?
Yes.
From Tuesday, it said it was $1.02 billion. It's already up to $1.1 billion. I wouldn't be shocked if it's the $1.25 billion jackpot by tonight. Because everyone's buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them.
I don't either.
Yeah. By the way, if you don't see me on Monday, it's because I won.
Just listen to the news, man.
It's because I won. Actually, I don't think they're allowed to disclose the name anymore.
No, but you... But if somebody says the winner came from Raleigh, North Carolina, and that winner was muttering PLL scores, that'll be you.
I can buy the PLL. I'm going to go to GalaxyCon tomorrow. I'm going to buy GalaxyCon.
How much?
I'm going to buy it.
How much do you think the PLL is worth?
It's a great question. They've done a lot with investing.
Yeah, I mean... Because you're only going to get, I mean, would you, first of all, let me ask this question. Would you take a lump sum or would you have it paid out over years? The lump sum is a smaller amount.
Yeah, the lump sum's smaller. I'm curious how the actual, like, how, I'm curious how the payout works. Like, do you choose the payout? Is it over 20 years? Is it 15?
I take the lump sum.
I take the lump sum.
Just, I don't care. If it's $1 billion and the lump sum is $500 million and the payout would end up being $600 million, you know what? Keep your $600 million. Keep that extra $100 million.
Yeah.
I'll be okay with just $500 million, and I didn't even have to play a 54-hole golf event.
No, you didn't. Lucky you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to see if I can buy the PLO. Or at least part of it.
Good luck.
Maybe I can buy 51% of it and be the majority owner of the league.
Good luck.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Also, last but not least, again, GalaxyCon taking place. Tickets are not available for today. They've sold all out.
No.
Yeah, they sold all out.
How did they do that?
Because they bring in people like Kevin Smith, whom I'm taking a picture with tomorrow, Adam.
Very exciting.
What should I say to him? It's very minimal time that you have when you get to take pictures with celebrities.
Snoochie Booches.
It's Snoochie's Booches?
I think it's Snoochie Booches.
Yeah, Snoochie Booches.
Something like that. Yeah. Say that to him.
Should I just lean in and just go, Snoochies, Snoochies? should I do that?
Yeah, just don't say all the other stuff that that Jay sings. Says.
No. No.
I don't think yesterday was certainly wasn't a successful day for me. At the window, I went 0-2. I do have a futures wager with Abe Answer to win the LIV Golf event at Bedminster this week. I still have Sam Darnold, thanks to Hayes Permar, as a week one starter. You have like 70 futures wagers still pending.
I have a few. Some are coming up this weekend.
Yes.
Some are coming up this weekend. Three of which.
Clear this off the docket. All right, so it is opening weekend, so I'm very excited for the start of all of it. Dennis Cox, let's make some cash.
Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Okay, you can own me.
I owe you one.
By the way, I found a sponsor for us.
Yeah?
Chewlies Gum.
Chewlies?
You know, movie that, what movie is that from, Dennis?
Chewlies Gum?
I think it's Chewlies. Almost positive it's Chewlies.
Can't say I know.
Clerks.
Oh, yes. Gosh.
Enough. Me giving you a movie quiz.
I know.
Come on. What a great running bit that was in Clerks.
It was. I might have to watch that tonight.
Gosh.
Should I bring lasagna to Kevin Smith? I'm going to bring it to Dante.
That would be great.
Brian O'Halloran.
Bring it to Brian O'Halloran. Bring it to him. And just say Caitlin Bree. Let's pour one out for Caitlin Bree.
Yep.
All right, sir.
By the way, I had a bet. I made the pick on Wednesday, but the game was last night. It was the Montreal Alouettes versus the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Yeah,
at
CFL
the Tiger
action.
Cats -3 at +105. They won 24-17.
There you go.
So I was a +105 yesterday.
Excellent. Excellent work on your part.
Okay, well.
You're almost within 1,000 of getting back to zero.
I know. Well, hopefully this weekend will be good to me.
I'm rooting for you.
This is why I'm going to go Archers over Atlas and Whip Snakes over Chrome in the PLL tomorrow. Parlay those two together +220.
You know, it's funny. I think that's the same wager you make every week.
Well, I mean,
like the same exact wager every week.
The top four teams in the PLL are actually playing each other this weekend.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
It's like a battle royale.
It really is. Now you're speaking my language.
All right. We're going to start today, 3 o'clock, the English League Championship, second tier of English football. Opening day, Huddersfield Town hosting Burnley. Huddersfield Town lost to Nottingham Forest with the final promotion spot on the line last year at Wembley. Burnley was one of three clubs relegated from the Premier League last year. I've got Huddersfield Town at home +205 to beat Burnley. Welcome. Welcome, Burnley, to this level, to your level.
Yeah, your level. All right, UFC tomorrow. Juliana Pena, the bantamweight women's champion, is in a rematch against Amanda Nunes, whom she beat the title for, but Nunes still heavy favorite at -265. Nunes was a minus, I'm sorry, Pena was a +650 in their first match. Pena pulled off a massive upset. But I'm going to take Nunes to win her title back. Winning this one by knockout. I think she gets a knockout in the third round. I think it's going to be the third round. Okay. Actually, no, I'm going to go ahead and take it. Give me a knockout in the third round by Amanda Nunes +1,100.
Really?
Yep.
There's an article on ESPN.com that explains why Pena is essentially built to beat Nunes.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. But
you haven't read it?
No, I have not read it. Okay. Well, why would I read that?
I don't know.
Because
you can bet on it?
I'm rooting for you. No, I didn't bet on it.
I chose
not to. Tomorrow, Carolina Courage taking on the Washington Spirit.
Yes.
By the way, Pride Night.
It is.
Pride Night celebration, Wake Med Soccer Park. And by the way, the Courage will be shorthanded. Jaylene Daniels, the defender who wouldn't play for the U.S. women's national team in a friendly because they were wearing their Pride uniforms, is not going to be rostered tonight. But I still like the Courage at +150 to beat the Washington Spirit. So go Courage. Neither of these clubs are trending very well of late.
Okay.
Courage need to win.
I'm going to give you a very large parlay right now.
A large parlay?
Yep. Okay. 7 Major League Baseball games, all picking on the money line. Give me the Mets over the Marlins, the Orioles over the Reds, Yankees over the Royals, Cardinals over the Nationals, Phillies over the Pirates, Blue Jays over the Tigers, and the Brewers over the Red Sox, +2338.
Okay.
Yep. They just got to win.
A 7-team baseball parlay.
A 7-leg parlay.
All right, then.
If I hit that, I'm in the black.
All right, then. 17 parlay.
Yep.
My gosh.
Why not?
No. I'm not knocking it. Actually, I'm surprised that it's only 23-38.
Well, they're all money line favorites.
Oh, I'm sure they are, but there's almost no way to be enough of a money line favorite to be a sure thing. Like, I bet the highest favorite there is like 210.
Actually, the Yankees -380 and the Blue Jays -365.
Yankees Royals, the Yankees are -380?
Yeah, and Blue Jays Tigers -365.
Okay. Wow, that's a... I mean, do the other teams not have players?
Probably not.
Just an enormous... It's an enormous number. I'd be willing to just take the Royals straight up in that game.
+310.
All right. No, but we're going to go to the The Community Shield at Leicester. It's the two best clubs in England, in the UK. It doesn't mean anything. It's Man City and Liverpool. They played twice last year, Man City and Liverpool. Each match turned out to be a 2-2 draw. This is going to be a draw again. Give me a draw. Liverpool and Man City in a match that has nothing on it at plus 250. Liverpool-Man City draw. And by the way, I mentioned earlier that the EPL starts a week from today.
Yeah.
It is Crystal Palace hosting Arsenal. Crystal Palace, Arsenal, to get us going. I am really looking forward to the EPL, and it starts next week. But I'm looking forward to the English Football Championship, which starts today in an hour and 5 minutes. I'm so excited.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
I think the fact that most mattresses are built to sustain a weight of 250 pounds is BS. I was ready for a change. I love that the Big Fig mattress supports up to 1,100 pounds. So if you and your partner are both curvier, if you and your partner are both larger framed, they're supporting you. It's so important for me to tell the world about brands that are truly seeing us as a community. And I love that Big Fig does that.
Big Fig is the company that believes that everybody and every body deserves a great night's sleep. Learn more at bigfigmattress.com.